All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And so, you know, Sandy, we were continuing our discussion on where we are, just where we are in this nation, and it's probably one of the most dangerous times in this nation's history in a long, long time. And the worst part about it is you see it developing. Those of us who, you know, kind of focus on these things, that certainly a lot less people who focus on these things than who do. But we're at a point where you and I were talking about this during the break. Donald Trump and the role he plays in all of this. One man.
Well, I think he's a symptom. And I think it's one of these things that was bound to happen. Maybe there'd be somebody like him who could read the tea leaves or at least sense them. I'm not sure he could read them. I think his instincts took him there to seize the sort of populist power that the situation was creating the capacity for. So we've got Donald Trump, and we've got this guy who gets beaten in an election, but instead of accepting defeat, he decides to devise a strategy for coming up with a theory as to why he ought to stay in power, which is appealing to the people who are, for instance, in a power structure that feels that he represents the power that their structure wants to maintain, this old power structure. And as it slips away, they decide they can embrace a wild theory as well. Okay, but then now what happens? Now what happens going forward after January 6th, after this episode that came so very close? And we were talking off the air about what had happened if Michael Pence had decided he could, as vice president, decide who would be president, and he would have decided in favor of Donald Trump. What would have happened then? What would we have done?
You know, Sandy, and I said that the nation would have done the only thing it could possibly do, and to remain one nation would to be to come in and do what they would have to do.
Well, what is that though? I mean, is it a military move? If it's a military move, what do all those people? We had an election that was about 83 million to 76 million or 75 million votes. That's 158 million, 159 million people voting. Almost half of those people were apparently strong Trump supporters. So now we decide that Trump has been made president in what is probably an illegitimate process, is an illegitimate process. And what happens then? And if it is a military, if it's essentially federal marshals, the military, who calls them out? The president is the one who has the power over them. There's no new president unless somehow Biden can assert the powers of a presidency to do it. So you can see there's a bunch of mechanical difficulties associated and legal difficulties associated with what is the response. But let's just say that the military does decide to do this. First of all, will all the military respond, or is some of the military so conservative in its outlook that they would divide over this and you'd have a split military? I mean, there's almost no response to that doesn't result in essentially a civil war.
You know, I've said this, that we are closer to a civil war, another civil war, than people can imagine, with people being as heavily armed as they are.
Right.
That could conceivably take place. And, you know, with Donald Trump,
Well, let me just jump in one thing. I said, you know, what about would the military have been cohesively in support of taking a stand that would not permit Michael Pence to decide who's going to be president, we should understand that it looks like the Secret Service could have been involved in the whole conspiracy, if we want to call it that, to have Michael Pence be disabled at least from being, not being, from refusing to do it. You know, we've got this situation now where these tapes are can't be found with respect, or the records and the phones can't be found about what the Secret Service was doing at the time. And then we have Michael Pence, who apparently was suspicious enough about the Secret Service that he refused to get in the car.
So let's do this. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. What is your level of trust in our government now? And you can say, well, those people are no longer in charge. But even if that's the case, and you say that those people are no longer in charge, does it give you a pause to say, well, the Democrats are in charge of that government now? Does it mean you have even more trust, or is your trust more so in a party? Because I think this is bigger than any party.
Well, let's run that one out forward. Let's say in 2024 at the Republican convention in Milwaukee, Donald Trump does try to secure the nomination for the presidency. And let's say that in a close contest, he loses the contest to get the Republican nomination for president. And someone like DeSantis gets it. Will Donald Trump then simply applaud the new Republican nominee and support
him?
No,
he's never going to do that.
No. And so let's say that he decides that he's been cheated by the Republican Party, and that the Republican Party has become part of this international conspiracy against which he is running, and is part of the deep swamp that his people need to overcome. And if you play that forward, you can kind of get to the same outcome that we were worried about with the January 6th insurrection.
So Sandy, do you then think that there's been no preparation within the government knowing where we are, knowing what took place, and that it has not prepared itself in some way, shape, or form this happens again?
I think governments are, it's almost impossible to devise a government that can deal with an incumbent who's unwilling to go through the process of a fair and peaceful transfer of power to a successor, because that president is the commander-in-chief of the military, and there isn't anyone else under the process of government that is. And that power, and that's one of the reasons why we've held as so sacred this notion of a peaceful transfer of power. It's why Al Gore, I think, and others have always participated in it, because they understand it at some level. And a person like Donald Trump, and maybe a movement that he is the representative of, don't understand it.
You know, Sandy, it is a scary time. It really is, because there are no answers ready that we can pat answers, right? There are no pat answers for where we go from there. And people could say, well, we don't have to worry about it. Donald Trump is not going to be a player anyway, because he's not going to wind up with the nomination. But that's no guarantee. The people who supported him, even though you hear them say they're not supporters of him, when he gets back on the scene, many of them are still clamoring for him.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who say something bad's going to happen in 2024. I had this nice fellow that was from the Boston area. I rode on a plane from Newark down to Florida with him, and he was a blue collar owner of a business, and near the end of the conversation we started talking about politics. He was clearly a Trump supporter, and he's a gun owner, in fact a multiple gun owner. He said he always carried a gun. I said, now why do you do that? And he said, because something bad is going to happen in this country, and I'm going to be armed and ready. And I realized later that I think what he was talking about was the kind of insurrection that could develop in 2024 or sometime in the future over issues that are associated with these social political issues.
You know, Sandy, all of those thoughts are real. They can happen. And we're not so separated from them. You know, again, we still in our minds, this is America. That stuff won't happen here. Right? I mean, yeah. There's nothing to point out prior to January 6th that those kind of things could have ever happened in this country. Not to the magnitude that it did. And now since it has happened, then we know it can happen again, but on a grander scale.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. It's just a little bit after Bastille Day, but I'll bet you on July 12th, back in the day in France, there wasn't a great deal of belief that July 14th and Bastille Day would happen in France either. You know, I mean, I don't think revolutions are necessarily things that are easily foreseen. If they were easily foreseen, the people in power would use their power to try and quash them preemptorily. You know, they would preempt them. But I just think that these things well up and then they burst.
Yeah, well, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
To man.